God bless everybody. This is Apostle Joseph Rodriguez with Truth Be Told, Church of the Living Christ. And here we swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So help us God. Amen. Tonight we were supposed to have an event, a debate to be specific, on Is Jesus God, with a gentleman named Alex Estrada, who is defending that Jesus is God and trying to make out Jesus as a deity, right? And I am defending the case that Jesus is the Son of God and not God. But first, let's start with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father God, I ask that everyone listening is edified and that the confusion be laid to rest through the truth that's coming forth through your child Joseph, who is also being used as a vessel in Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth's mighty name, I pray. Amen. So, the question is Jesus God? And my answer is no. Jesus is not God. He is the Son of God. But many believe today, in this new age, that Jesus is God. Well, I'm here to reprove that lie and to send it back to hell where it came from. Jesus is the Son of God, not God. But to understand this, first we have to gain an understanding of the nature of God Himself. God is a spirit, and we read this in John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. God is a spirit. God is celestial, perpetual, eternal, everlasting to everlasting. God is higher than heaven, deeper than hell, and broader than the seas. That's the nature of the spirit. That is God, because God is spirit. As a matter of fact, it says in Psalms 113, 4-6, God is higher than anything and anyone, outshining everything you can see in the skies. Who can compare with God, our God, so majestically enthroned, surveying His magnificent heavens and earths, the one He created? God is a spirit, and God's own spirit is what He breathed into Adam and what made Adam a living soul. All Adam had first was his body with no spirit, so he wasn't alive until the spirit was breathed in his nostrils. We confirm this with Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground. So first He formed man, which was Adam, from the dust of the ground. And then He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then man became a living being. Amen. So we see there's two parts that make a man: the spirit of God, or God's breath, the rhema or logos, which calls things into existence, right? Rhema, which is just the word in action, right? Or commands being done through speech, the speech of God. This is the part of man that comes from God, the breath that was breathed in his nostrils. But the earth part, or the flesh part of us, is the dust of the ground. And Job further confirms that our life in our nostrils comes from the Spirit of God when we are born. So there are two parts: the part of us that comes from the earth, and God's breath in our nostrils. The dust from the ground part of our flesh will go back to the earth, and the spirit that was breathed in our nostrils that gave us life will go back to God who gave it to us. Ecclesiastes 12:7 confirms this. It reads, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Now, if you stay with me, we will have an understanding of how Jesus is not God, and rather how He is the Son of God. Because Adam was made in the image of God, we must also look at the nature of angels real quick. God made the angels spirits, but God is the only spirit that does not have a beginning. Hebrews 4:9 shows us that God is the Father of all spirits, right? So He's even the father of angels, because He created angels as spirits, and He's the Father of all spirits. Hebrews 4:9 shows us that God is the Father of spirits also. God is the only spirit that don't have a beginning or an ending, but is the beginning and ending of anything and everything created, or that has a spirit itself. That's what it is to be God. That's also why He is in all and worketh all in all. Ephesians 4:6, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Once again, that states one God also. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Adam was the first man, though, that was made in the image of God, or in His likeness, which is the likeness of God. Basically, God gave a body to the spirit of life, and God, being the spirit of life Himself, is how man, or Adam, was made in the image of God. But the body of man was created to be used as a physical representation of God on earth and to give him all the glory while doing it. That's why God created man to begin with. And that's also why he made man in his image. He made man to reflect himself. So in the image of God made he man. Amen. But Satan, the father of lies, also a created spirit, because like we just read, God is the father of all spirits, and Satan is an angel, and God made the angels all spirits. So God made the spirit Lucifer, who is the fallen angel, who opposed God and took 1/3 of the heavenly host with him, which are other angels. Moving on, Lucifer lied to Eve in the garden, which caused Adam to fall into sin, who was made in the image of God with flesh and blood and with the breath of the spirit that gives life. Adam is a man because he was born of flesh, which comes from the dust of the ground. And we confirmed this with John 3:6, because it says that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Man returns to dust because flesh is what makes a man, and flesh was made from the dust of the ground. What happens is that the spirit of God quickens it, or better yet, gives it life. It gives the body or the flesh life. When God breathed his spirit into the nostrils of man, it gave it life. It gave life to the dust that became flesh from the ground. But without the spirit of life, which is God, the flesh will perish, and man or flesh will return to the dust. That's why it says in Job 34:14-15, if he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, when he just breathed into Adam, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. All flesh would perish together, and man will return to dust, because God is in all, worketh all, and is in all. Without the breath that he breathed in every living thing, it'll all perish alike. It'll all perish together. It'll all go back to the ground together, right? Now, even though Adam was made in the image of God and even called the first son of God, Adam's sin caused the fall of man, and that's when the devil thought he had God. But God had a solution. He had a plan, and thank God we have a merciful God, because it was already in the will of God to redeem us, to restore a relationship with us and him. It was already in his will. It was already in his plans to save us. Amen. Our redemption came from the new thing he did. That new thing that he did is found in the prophetic word of Isaiah 43:19. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and things in the wasteland. God knew he was going to make a new type of man that would bring streams of living water to the wastelands where we are perishing and wasting away through the condemnation of the first Adam. Jesus, what was that new thing? The new thing was a man conceived of a virgin. Praise God. Confirmation, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call him his name Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel, for those that didn't know, means God with us. Because the man the woman gave birth to was the man God was going to manifest himself to us in. God was with us through the man Jesus Christ. Jesus is the man all the prophets prophesied about too, about us too. Even Jesus himself knew he was predestined, and pointed out one prophecy of himself to the people to show that even when he wasn't born, the people of God saw his day coming. Amen. John 8:58 reads, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was very glad. Abraham rejoiced to see the day of the Lord, and he saw it through the faith, because faith is creating a substance to things unseen and things hoped for. That's why Abraham is known as the father of faith in Genesis 12:17. Abraham is the father of the faithful. God told Abraham about Jesus in Genesis 15:5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. He was referring to Jesus Christ. Abraham, the father of faith, understood that through Jesus, he would have more offspring than even the stars we can count in the sky today. Christ fulfilled prophecy and made Abraham's name great by making his name that represents the father of faith and righteousness. Amen. Jesus Christ was ordained to take away our sins before the foundation of the earth. Jesus was in the will of God. That's how he was ordained to take away our sins before the foundation of the earth. Before the creation of the heavens and the earth was even made, Jesus was predestined to save us. And we find this in 1 Peter 1:19, 20. But with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was appeared in these last times for the sake of you, for the sake of us. The word became flesh and prophecy was fulfilled. And he actually did what the word said he was going to do. He died on the cross. And for the sake of us, we now have a chance at eternal life and a reconciliated relationship with the Almighty God, who is the Father. Amen. The word becoming flesh confirms his revival and fulfills scripture. See, God knew a time would come where he would need some blood to shed in a perfect body without stain or blemish to sacrifice for our sins. Time would come for the prophecies of Jesus' arrival given to us from all the prophets in the Old Testament to would have to come. That's how Jesus was with God even before the foundations of the earth. Jesus was in the will of God, which makes him predestinated. The good news is that God predestinated a certain people that will become his children through the man Jesus Christ, that he manifested himself into us also. Right? We were predestined just like Christ before the rhema breath of God brought him into existence. Ephesians 1:5 confirms this. He predestined us to the adoption of sons through Christ Jesus to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. God is a good God. We serve a great God. It was always in his intention. It was always in his plans to save us through Jesus Christ and for us to become sons through the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ephesians 1:11. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure to do it. We were predestinated just like Christ before the rhema breath of God brought him into existence. Isaiah 42:1-4. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. This was a prophecy of Jesus being born, or the word becoming flesh. Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah prophesies that a pure young woman will give birth to God's son. Matthew 1:18-23, Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled. Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah prophesies that Jesus Christ will come as a baby. Micah 5:2 prophesies that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. So when Jesus was born in the manger, that was just a prophetic word being fulfilled, or in other words, the word becoming flesh. The word brought Jesus, or Emmanuel, the Son of God, into existence, because not a stroke or a pen or a scribble of God's word will fade away until everything that's written in the prophetic book is fulfilled. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The problem with the interpretations of man is that they are not spiritually discerned. They don't understand the mystery of godliness. That's why many make Jesus out to be God today. But God knew there would be confusion, so he made it more clear to Timothy later, so there would be no more confusion of what it meant that the word became flesh. 1 Timothy 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God was manifested in the flesh. He made it clear for us through Timothy that it was manifested, that he was manifested in the flesh. It was God that turned the water into wine. It was God that made it possible for Jesus to walk on water. It was God's power. It was the power of God that split the sea through Moses. It was God and Christ who healed the sick. It was God and man that cast out demons. That's why Jesus says, I cannot do nothing on my own. John 5:30. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. The reason why it was God in man doing these things. It's because God was manifested in the flesh. Hallelujah. And we cannot do nothing on our own, just like Jesus told us. And the apostles knew he was, the apostles knew Jesus was who he said he was, according to the prophets, because the works that Jesus did by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is God. God also used a man. It was God in Christ that told Lazarus to come forth. It was God and man that told Lazarus to come forth. Amen. Proof that God is a planner and had plans for us, because he has been reminding us through the prophets since the beginning. One popular scripture I know you are all familiar with is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. This verse comes from Jeremiah 29:11. The plan from the beginning to give us hope, even after the fall of man in the garden, was Jesus Christ. That's why, once again, Jesus was foreknown. God always already knew Jesus would die for the sins of the world, and that's how Jesus was there before the foundations of the world, of the earth. It's because Jesus was in the plans and the will of God. The devil is called crafty and deceiving and the father of lies, but God is all-knowing and all-wise, so he is always one step ahead of the devil. He used the prophets to rub it in the devil's face, basically saying, eventually this son will be born and death will be overcome, and eventually you'll be thrown in the fire. And the prophets mocked God and showed the devil that he was not smarter than God. Eventually the word became flesh, a prophecy was fulfilled, and to us a child was born. That child is a man, though a perfect one, because he needed one worthy to actually redeem us, and he searched but couldn't find one. So he made one with the Holy Ghost in the womb of a virgin, and she conceived a man. The reason why he even had to do a new thing was because he already looked for a man to bridge the people to himself, the father of all creation, but found none worthy. We see this in the prophecy of Ezekiel 22:30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. So that's why a virgin conceived a man, one that came in the likeness of flesh. And he is a man because, like we read earlier, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Hallelujah. And Jesus became the second Adam also. In Romans 5:12-15, therefore, just as though one man, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, this reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come, which is Jesus, which is a type of man like him who came. But the gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Amen. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:21-22, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So by one man came death, and through another man came life. Jesus Christ is a man. To call Jesus God is blasphemy, for all the apostles acknowledge Jesus as a man also, or the Son of God, not God. And ironically, Adam, being a man also, was the first man that was ever called the Son of God. Jesus, being the second Adam and the new thing and new godly line, is now called the Son of God, because like Adam, he is the first of many other brethren who will be adopted as children of God through Christ. Confirmation, Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many other brethren. Jesus was going to be the firstborn of the many other brothers and sisters of God. Those who recognize the new thing and understand the mystery of godliness and that conform to the image of the Son will, through Christ, become children of God themselves. Those who preach Jesus is God are Antichrist. 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And such is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is in the world. People are already saying that that Jesus Christ is God. God came from heaven, but Jesus came in the flesh, not from heaven. There's no flesh and blood in heaven. So anyone and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and such is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now it is in the world. For the meaning of Christ itself represents a man, because only a man could be Christ. Christ is a man anointed by God, or chosen by God. A Messiah is a man anointed by God, chosen and sanctified for his will. Amen. Again, Adam was the original first son of God. And we find that in the genealogy of Jesus. The genealogy of Jesus is found in Luke's gospel. And at the end of it, it reads in Luke 3:38, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Because Adam was the son of God, being the first man created in the image of God. Jesus is the second Adam, the firstborn over many other brothers and sisters. Amen. Colossians 1:15, 19. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. Jesus is a man like Adam. That's why he is the image of the invisible God, who is the firstborn over all creation. Man was made in the image of God. Amen. Jesus, being a man, was also created in the image of the invisible God, who is the firstborn over all creation. Amen. When the apostles saw Jesus, they saw God in him through his works and prophecy being fulfilled. That's why Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." He understood the mystery of godliness, and he recognized God in the man Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we know what it actually means that the word became flesh. It was prophecy being fulfilled. And now we know how Jesus was before Abraham also, because he was in the Father's will before the foundation of the earth. And now we know that Jesus was a man, and that God used that man to save us from eternal damnation that would have came to us through the first Adam, if God didn't have a plan for us, which was Jesus Christ himself. One last thing I like to say. If God says himself that he is not a man that he shall lie, in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he shall lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God spoke through the prophets, and he prophesied a redemption plan. And that redemption plan was Jesus Christ. And he made it good, because he's not a liar like a man. Jesus was born. To us a child was born. The word became flesh. Prophecy was fulfilled. Hallelujah. Right? Because God makes things good. If he says it, he'll do it. That's why it reads, God is not a man that he shall lie, neither the son of man that he shall repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Of course he would, and he did through Jesus Christ. Jesus is referred to as the Son of Man, by the way, over 66 times in the Bible. Not only did Jesus say he was a man himself, and not only did the apostles recognize him as a man, but he also demonstrated the characteristics of a man. And here's a couple examples of it. Matthew 1:25, he experienced hunger. Matthew 21:18, he thirsts. John 19:28, Jesus also experienced temptation. Matthew 4:1, he experienced pain and suffering. Matthew 16:21. Matthew 27:50, he died. God does not die. Only a man can die. More prophecy also that proves that Jesus is not God, because God is almighty. And Jesus was made lower than even the angels. And God made the angels also. He's the father of all spirits. Psalms 8:5 is a prophecy that Jesus would be made a little lower than the angels, which is referring to being made in the form of a man. Jesus is a man. And he is not God, he is the Son of God. 1 Timothy 2:5 reads, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. This man will be seen coming in the clouds at the right hand of God," if you didn't know also. Matthew 26:64, Jesus says unto him, "Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He will also give authority. He was given back to the Father after he destroys all authorities on earth." And we read that in 1 Corinthians 15:24. "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, It's clear that Jesus is a separate being completely. And to call Jesus God is blasphemy. And makes you out to be the Antichrist. 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And such is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Jesus is not God. He is the Son of God, who saved us from our sins on the cross of Calvary, paving a way for us to get to the Father, who went and prepared. Jesus is the man who went and prepared a place for us. Amen. And now who sits at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. The Christ, the Messiah, who shall return and pour out the judgment on the disobedient ones and set the paths of the crooked straight. Before he delivers everything back to the Almighty God, like we just read, this mystery was revealed to me through the Spirit of God, which reveals mysteries for us by searching even the deep things of God. So I don't expect many to understand, just like many didn't understand then. 1 Corinthians is confirmation of this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Amen? So the things of God are spiritually discerned. And to understand this, you have to discern them spiritually. Hallelujah. So we understand that Jesus was with God from the beginning of the earth, because he was in the plans of God. Amen. He was foreknown. He was predestinated. Hallelujah. And so were we. Hallelujah. There was a certain type of people that would conform to the image of his Son, that would also become children of God through him, making him the first of many brethren. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Son of God. He is not God. And anyone who does not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is Antichrist, and is working in the spirit of Antichrist, who God told us would be in the world and is already in the world. Amen. So once again, Jesus is the Son of God. He is not God. He didn't come from heaven. He came from the house of David. He came from the tribe of Judah. You understand what I'm saying? So hallelujah. I pray that many eyes were opened today, and that the lies were sent back to hell where they belong. Jesus Christ is a man that God made. He was the new thing that God made. A man that was born of a virgin. There was no such type of man ever born like that ever. Amen. But what was born of flesh is flesh, and the flesh represents a man. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, because man is made in the image of invisible God. Amen. Jesus Christ is the second Adam. Satan thought he got over on God when he caused man to fall in the garden, but thank God, God had a plan to give us hope in the future, and that hope came through the birth of a child being born by a virgin, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And through Jesus Christ and his death, are we now able to be reconciliated to the Father, and able to be called also a son of God, like Jesus Christ himself. That's why he is the first of many. He is a man. Hallelujah. And like God says, I am not a man that I shall lie, neither the son of man that I shall repent. Praise God. God bless you all. In Jesus' name, I pray you all have been edified in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that the lies are be put to rest right now, because God is not a God of confusion. And without the Spirit discerning the truth of God, you're only left with hermeneutics and eschatology. Because that's just cross-examining things and human intellect. But the Spirit of God reveals all mysteries and even searches the deep things of God. And the things that God didn't reveal when Jesus was here are revealed now in these times to the apostles. Amen. The mystery of godliness. Even Thomas understood the mystery, and that's why he gave respect and honor to the Lord and the Father. At the same time, he recognized God manifested in the flesh, in the man, Jesus Christ. God bless you all. This is Apostle Joseph Rodriguez of Truth Be Told, Church of the Living Christ. And here we swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So help us God. Amen.